Hello everybody. Hi. Today we are at our studio with our guest Yurong here. So for those who don't know, for the past few weeks, we have been following Yurong to go through the process of understanding how a property is sold. So over the past few weeks, if you haven't been watching our previous episode, we have been following Yurong to go through his process of selling two properties at One Canberra, and he managed to sell the unit within less than a month of marketing the unit. So today here, we will go in depth about the strategy behind how he do it and why he do certain things. Right. So for Yurong, right, he has been around the industry for 8 years with PropNex Realty. So Yurong, thank you to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So maybe you want to introduce yourself, right, to our audience, like, what do you do? Why you do real estate? What do you do outside real estate?
Okay, sure. So basically, I help my clients make their best real estate decisions, right? So that they can bring them joy and also like grow their wealth. Why I joined real estate was because actually 19 years old, when I was 19, I thought it was an investment after reading the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. So I was very motivated to, become rich. So I thought investment was the way. What happened was actually I invested in a Ponzi scheme, which I didn't know was a scam. It just felt like a very great investment. So I lost all my savings then, also some of my parents' savings. So I felt very bad, right? So it prompted me that, hey, I need to, be more knowledgeable in the realm of financial instruments. And that's why I joined real estate lah, and build up like skill sets like financial planning, risk management, data analysis, so that I don't meet somebody that give me the wrong advice or, things again. So it was a very painful experience.
Okay. So for those who don't know, right, actually I know Yurong for like eight plus years already. So before he even joined as a real estate agent, I already know him, and I seen him grow as a real estate agent. So the thing is, right, when we are following Yurong over the past few weeks, right, there are a few things from a real estate agent perspective, right, that he will do. So maybe you want to share, like, because we are following two units, selling at One Canberra, right? For one of them is Aaron, the other one is Zhang Yi, right? Joe, okay? So the thing is, right, before you consult any of your client, what exactly will you go through? Is there a process that you will go through? Is there like what step-by-step process that you have to go through before you actually do any selling?
Yeah, okay. So usually I would say that, whenever there's some inquiry, or like my clients ping me out and say, I have a property that I want to sell, or I have some property plans, or I want to buy a property, right? I would say, okay, let's have a sit-down consultation first, right? Where we find out, what is actually the objective of my clients, right? So a lot of times I would say that a lot of clients, they like to just execute as soon as possible. I want to sell quickly, or I want to just buy, so I want to see as many properties as soon as possible. But if we were to be able to sit back, right, and really look at things from a big picture, right, we are able to execute very smoothly, right, taking away all the possible obstacles, such that we only take the important steps, then we can actually achieve our goal much faster, right? So during the consultation, let's say, for example, if a client is doing like a selling and buying, right, we actually want to understand a bit more on like what's the objective first, right? After that, we also want to find out certain things regarding like financial, like for example, whether the client is still under seller stamp duty, if he sells now, is he in a lock-in period for his loan package? Will he have a penalty because of that, right? Logistic-wise, after he sells ready, does he have a temporary place to stay? Is he shifting to a parent's place? Is he planning to rent? Or actually he needs to maybe, rent back from the buyer that he sells to, or like have an extension so that he can transit smoothly to the next house, right? So when we know all these things, then we are able to plan the selling process, right, accordingly to these circumstances, so that the entire process, right, will be more peaceful, more smooth for the clients. If not, they will have, a lot of times, right, they start selling already. Only at the point of closing or after closing, then they tell their agent, oh, actually, I realize that I have a penalty for my bank loan. Actually, I need to, have additional extension for my buyers. Then it causes a lot of stress for themselves and also for the agents and also for the buyers, because now they have to troubleshoot whatever that we could have prevented if we have a proper consultation, right?
Mm. So I think buying and selling a property is a huge decision for a lot of people, right? So a lot of them will really engage a good real estate agent or someone who really knows what they are doing to really consult and advise them accordingly. Because from what I hear, it's really that there's so many steps required before the property is being sold, or even after a property is sold, right? There are so many steps that needs to be properly done up before the whole transaction can actually go through, right? So in the context of Aaron's and Joe, right, the two units at One Canberra that you managed to sell. So, what was it that you consulted them on, and how? What are the in two different scenarios for two units? What happened?
Okay. So for Aaron wise, you know, like we found out that like his objective was like he wants to move closer to the parents' place. And then also like the next house to be near one of the primary schools that he wants to be in. Right. So it's purely from like a own stay kind of decision. He doesn't have like a strong need for capital appreciation, but he would like to have, you know, like go into a property that, you know, at least, you know, preserve his property value over the long term. Right. At least for the next, you know, like 10 years that he'll be there. Right, so that's the objective. So after we understand objective ready, we also do some financial analysis first, right, to make sure that we understand how much loan they can take, you know, how much CPF they are able to utilize, including those after they are sold off the current property, right. We also, you know, like look through the monthly installment calculation to see is it something they are comfortable or not. So when we do this process, right, for the financial calculation for the next purchase, right, we then establish what we call like a budget, right. Then from there, then the clients can actually decide, okay, yeah, it makes sense for me to execute now. Or it don't make sense for me to execute because I probably couldn't buy something that I want to buy, or I need to change my strategy. Versus they start selling already, then go and think about the buying portion. So for Aaron's side to continue, right, would be, so after we've done that already, so basically we just consulted, I just share with him, you know, like what is the my PVP strategy on selling properties. Right, so I go through that with them, and then once they're okay, then we started the process already.
So you're talking about PPP. Can you elaborate more on this? What do you mean by PPP?
Sure. So for PPP, right, basically is publicity, positioning, and pricing. Right. So all this is just basically to, you know, overcome the problems that usually a seller will face when selling their properties. So most of the time when a seller, you know, wants to market the unit, right, they'll be very excited because they are like imagine what their next plan will be, what their next house is gonna be, right? But like 1 to 2 months down the road, if their property is still not sold yet, then or like, you know, like when there are like no viewings, like no very little viewers, or like not getting the offers that is very far away from their expectation, then they will start to like panic. Right, so all these things could be prevented, you know, like if we have done, you know, the marketing properly, you know, like before we even execute, you know, the entire selling process. Right.
So can you elaborate more about all these three different points?
Sure. So I think like let's start off with the first P first, which is like positioning. Right. So I think a lot of times when sellers sell their house, right, they don't position the best self, you know, like before they start selling. So it's like, well, we go for a very important interview, right? We'll definitely prepare for interview. We will groom ourselves, right? But a lot of times, if you go and browse a lot of online portals, you will see those like pictures, right? You don't feel like the owner is like really that serious in selling because the houses are cluttered, right? Or like it's taken from weird angle, it's like blurry and all that, right? And they are selling all these properties are like $1 million, $2 million, or even higher in pricing, right? But the key thing is, because buyers do have no imagination, right, and we are all very busy in Singapore. You browse through like, you know, like so many hundreds and thousands of properties online, but you will only filter the top choices to actually inspect physically, right? So for positioning, basically I think number one, the most basic thing that all sellers should do, right, is always to declutter their space first, you know, like keep things neat, right? Of course we want to do 80-20 effort lah, right? Basically we just want to clear off things that are outside, that is very visible one. If you're storeroom or like your wardrobe is messy, is fine, but outside, you know, on tabletop, dining table, bed, sofa, all this, as long as it's neat, it gives a pleasant experience, right? So if the house is neat, then I can take good pictures, right? Because yeah, I can bring a professional camera crew, but if it's very cluttered, I will just amplify how cluttered the house is. So that's definitely the basic, but a lot of owners still don't do that, right? And I think second thing will be sometimes the house might just be in a state that it is better to have like a quick makeover. For example, that will apply to like Joe's unit, right? Because he has like a young family, right? He loves his daughters a lot, right? So they can freely doodle on the walls of the house, right? So when we are selling, right, and he's moving out, right? So I actually advise that, hey, let's do a repainting of the whole house, just a simple white paint, so you can spruce up and show that, hey, you know, like this is just like a 5-year-old condo, right? And because he moved out already, another thing that we can add on in terms of positioning, which is like, when you move out all your furniture, correct? And buyers cannot visualize how an empty house feels like, because empty house feels very cold. I don't know whether it can fit in, what kind of sofa size, what kind of bed size. And that's why we have like a home staging to come in to decorate the space so that people can visualize the space effectiveness, the utilization of it. Help them to visualize the coziness of how it can be a potential home for them. Mm. So this will be positioning.
Mm. What about the other points?
Okay, the next portion already, you know, once we position it well, then we can move on to publicity. Publicity basically is falls under the marketing part, right? So a lot of times people are not getting viewers, right? Just because the marketing is not strong enough to actually be able to outreach to the buyers that they are suitable for their units, right? So for example, people just think, I know nowadays selling houses is very simple, agent job is very simple, right? You just take a few pictures with your camera, right? And then you post it online and then you will close the deal, correct? But it doesn't work that way anymore. Nowadays, because with technology, right? The good thing is we can reach out to more potential buyers than we can last time in the newspaper era, right? And we can reach out to more people in a more cost-effective manner, right? But if you are not able to do it correctly, right, the advertisement will just be drowned in the sea of competition. People won't even know that you are selling if the advertisement is not done correctly. Right? So after we do all this decluttering and all that, right, then I can have professional crew to come in to take wide-angle professional pictures. I don't use my iPhone to take pictures, right? Reason is because you can actually capture the space better with wide-angle. And actually online, right, people basically just shortlist based on two things. Your price, or you know, like at the first glance, right, actually how well the pictures are taken, right? That will first capture attention, right? If I can capture that attention already, then I will able to, you know, like bombard them with more details on like why they should come and explore this space. So that's why we have also professional virtual tour. You know, professional virtual tour, basically they are able to preview the entire space. They can go into different bedrooms, they can zoom in, zoom out, they can actually see how the house looks like before even coming to the actual space, right? So virtual tour is proven to, you know, like generate about like, you know, like 5 to 10 more times more inquiries, right? Depending on the portals, right? For SRX, there was you can generate up to 19 times more inquiries, right? And virtual tour basically, right, is like, just imagine, right? I remember last time when I was trying to buy my own car, right? So I was, as a buyer, I'm very self-excited. I mean, I would do my own research, right? And I always like those car companies, right? They give me a lot of visuals, a lot of information about the specs of the cars, right? Because it helped me to convince myself why the car is so good and so, you know, like why I should buy this car even before I go down to the showroom, right? And so it applies the same thing for property, right? The more information we are able to give, the more we allow the buyers to preview, the more they will fall in love with the place and think, hey, this house, I think, right, it's a very good chance that it will be suitable for them. So when they come down, there's a higher chance that they want to buy this property, right? And also like good description are very important, right? You know, like they have no time to go and search. They want to find a place that is like convenient. So they want to know how to get to the MRT station, where's the nearest mall, what's the amenities. They want to know whether there's future growth, any new things that are coming up. Maybe it's new MRT, new malls, maybe it's like a new regional center, etc. So all these things will be important to them. Or like, you know, what's so good about like this unit? Maybe it's a high floor, it's newly renovated.
Mm. Mm. So what is the last point that under the 3 P's?
Okay. So, okay, before I wrap up our publicity, actually there's still one more thing that is very important, right? Actually, one of the most important is about like how the advertisement rank within the online portals itself, right? So if let's say you are searching for something at Google, correct. If you can find your results on page one, you wouldn't go to check out the third page or the fourth page, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So property portals, we also want to rank our advertisement high such that, you know, like when the buyers search, you know, our advertisement actually pop up, right? In short, if let's say, you know, like agents are willing to just pay more and, you know, like repost, boost the listings, right? Your listings will be shown much more frequently. Mm-hmm. And that's how you actually get more buyers to the door. Mm. Yeah. So last point, right, is actually pricing, right? Pricing is also very important, right? So psychological wise, you know, like all sellers will want to sell at the highest price that they can, ma. Correct, right? So a lot of times, you know, like many sellers will adopt this strategy of, hey, you know, like, let's test out the market first. So they test out with a very high price, right? And then the mindset is, yeah, if I don't get this price, I then adjust accordingly downwards, right? So sometimes this on paper sounds like a good strategy, but actually it is not so beneficial. Okay, why do I say that? Because actually nowadays, right, if you use portals, you also know that actually every portal tells you what is the recent transaction price. You are very easily you can compare it in the same condo, what are others selling for, what has been transacted for in other condos I've been selling for, right? So I always share that when we sell a house, we actually get the most attention from the marketplace, right, when we first launch the unit, right? So imagine, right, if let's say you are like a very serious buyer looking for a very specific location, will you continue to monitor this area to see is there any new properties coming up?
Yes,
you will, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And then you're very serious already. You see everything don't suit you. So every time when there's new thing come up, will you be very excited? You will, right?
I want to go and view.
You want to go and view, right? And then these are the people that are actually very serious. So I always say that you only have one time to launch your unit into the market, right? And when you launch it, it's the most exciting phase because you have buyers that couldn't find a space waiting for you, knowing what they want, and then they have budget. They know what their budget is. They have their loan approval already, right? So you're going to attract the most serious group of buyers to come in, and they're going to give you a serious offer, right? But in exchange, right, the seller will think, wow, maybe I first year of marketing, I can get this kind of pricing already. I should wait it out and I'll get higher. Correct. But in reality is that, like, most of the time, the first offer will be the best offer if the marketing has been done right. Okay. Reason is because, right, you get the most attention, you know, at the first, you know, like, 30 days of your marketing, you attract the most serious buyers. So I will always say that pricing wise, right, we don't want to price out of the price range. We want to price it not cheap, but competitively, right? Such that, right, in reverse, right, we attract more of such serious buyers, right? So imagine, if today you come to see a property viewing, you only know that you are having a private view, only yourself viewing, versus you know that there are other contenders that are maybe as serious as you seeing the house. Which one will make you have the urgency to take action on the property? When you view yourself, or like when you know that there are other contenders?
When there are other contenders.
Right. So you will say, if I like this space, if I don't take action, I don't make an offer, maybe tomorrow this house is no longer available. Right? So basically all this competition, right, inversely will actually, you know, like get better pricing for the owners. Because if there is more than one buyer that is interested, it could become like who can give the best offer, correct? Yeah. So
for Aaron and Joe's context, right? Yeah. These two units are launched at almost about the same time,
correct?
Right? So maybe can you just share, right, how long did you take to prep these two units, and how long does the whole process of marketing, selling, and then manage to get the unit sold? Right, just an estimate.
Okay, so prepping part usually, you know, like usually the owners will have about roughly about like 1 to 2 weeks, you know, for them to just tidy up the space. Of course, some owners like say, okay, I need 1 month. Then we just have 1 month of prepping space. Also, the prep time is more for like how long they will need. So for Aaron, I think it was about 2 weeks. For Joe wise, because he's planning, he has renting first. So actually we rented a place for Joe first. And then he moved everything out, right? And then in terms of, what are the things that we prep, right? For example, we need to do painting, we need to do home staging. So that takes about like, you know, like close to 1.5 weeks to 2 weeks for Joe's unit, right? And then once that's done, we will have the video team to come down to, you know, like shoot the virtual tour, shoot the photos and the video. So all that will be 1 week. So in short, I would say that usually most people take about 1 to 2 weeks to prepare and declutter themselves. I will take another 1.5 weeks to 2 weeks to get all the marketing done, and we will launch ready.
Yeah, so for their case, right, after you launch, yeah. So
okay. Yeah. So after we launch, so we already have offers come in after about 1.5 weeks of marketing. So we have I think in total 14 to 16 group of people that came to view both units.
Yeah. So at least that means you get offers coming in within 1.5 weeks, and correct. Then the negotiation takes about how long?
Negotiation was a few days. Yeah. So there was an offer that came in, then so all offers are being put up to the owners. Right. Then because for Joe's unit there was only one offer. For Aaron's unit there was like two offers. Right. So from then on, then we come up with a strategy to counter offer all those buyers that came in to arrive at the final pricing. Yeah.
Yeah. So once the owners accepted, right? Mm. So then that will be the next plan, right? What do you have for them?
Okay. So for Aaron wise, right? So right now we are going to explore places that are near the parents' place that fit what they want. They're busy for them because it's for own stay, right? So amenities, you know, MRT is the most important. And of course, you know, like within 1 kilometer of the school, right? So this will be the hard criteria that are like non-negotiable. Yeah. That I will be recommending, you know, like houses that are suitable for them to execute, right? For Joe's wise, basically, they already have the rental place settled already, you know, like just for the primary school administration, right? And then for us, I will just be presenting to them, you know, like two good deals that, you know, they can actually consider that fits the investment objective. So that will be the next plan.
So for these two different plans, right, what are the why you recommend or how they should be taking certain criteria into consideration? So by starting with Aaron, if they were to sell and then they are looking at somewhere to stay for their own stay, right? So what are the things to consider?
Okay, so things to consider generally, I would say that entry price is always the utmost important. So like you can buy any location, but if you enter at overpriced kind of pricing, then the risk level is higher. So the pricing wise will be for me to help them to analyze using, you know, like recent done transactions, right? And the price trend of the current condo that looking at to advise them whether is it the correct entry price or not, right? If it's not the correct entry price, but because of the availability, they still want to buy, at least they know, they make an informed decision that, you know, like it's because they want this and they know, like, you know, like statistic is like that and they still want to go in, then it will be to their decision. Other factors that are important one usually, let's say, I would say that if the condo should not be like too old, like maybe like more than 25 years if it's a leasehold property, right? Reason is because the older it gets, right, it is the number of potential buyer actually reduces, either because of the upkeep of the property, right? Or because of, like, you know, like there will be limitation in terms of their CPF usage. Okay, so you have like a smaller buyer pool. But if let's say, you know, like sometimes, you know, like to counter, if let's say, you know, you like older property, right? Just because of location, right? Then it must be attractive in comparison. Meaning, for example, if it's nearer to MRT station, it's nearer to amenities like malls, right? The land size is good, right, which means that you have like more facilities in the condo itself, or like when the land size is good and then like all the units are very big, you will know that there's a chance that it might be en bloc. So all these factors will give you an exit strategy. So I think importantly is that when you buy a house, you must think of next time, in like 5 years time, 10 years time, when you want to sell, is there a market that, you know, like people want to buy from you or not?
So that means not only for own stay unit, we need to think about the convenience, but we also need to think about the like exit strategy, whether is it to sell this and then buy another unit, or sell this to rent another unit and buy investment property. So there's a lot of strategy after strategy down the road.
I think to keep it simple is like, I think like at least you want to buy something that, you know, like you are confident that in next time when you want to sell, there will still be a market for it, right? Even though I know that a lot of people who are buying for own stay, usually they'll be thinking, hey, you don't think so much, like, I'm just buying for stay one, right? Or like,
as long as you like it, then you just buy.
Yeah, as long as I buy. Yes, you can do that, of course. You just have to know, I just like to keep them informed on what is the risk. And if they are okay, the risk, then that's still okay, right? But I think the key thing about exit strategy is sometimes, buyers might also think that I won't sell one, I will surely retire, right? But what we want in life is choice and option, that for whatever reason, you know, like things change and we want to sell, we can still sell and there is a market for it, such that you don't have to sell at a depressed price. Because actually in Singapore, we have gone through this entire, you know, like so many years, right? People just expect that like price will keep going up and going up and going up, right? But a lot of some of the properties, you know, like that they have is like leasehold property mah. So eventually a leasehold property, when it goes to zero, the value is $0. Right, I'm not saying don't buy leasehold property. Actually, a lot of leasehold properties make better investment than freehold property. But what I'm saying is that like we want to know when we exit, there's a marketplace. I think that's the important takeaway lah.
So I guess there's a lot of strategy within the strategy that, and a lot of factors to take into consideration. Yeah. Not just buy something you like and for convenience, but also to buy something you like and for convenience, yet thinking about what is next.
Correct. I'll just say actually what you say is correct. Like basically, I think like the devil is in the details, right? A lot of people don't think long term enough or think beyond the current property they buy, right? And when you work with somebody that knows how to fit the right strategy to implement specifically to your objective, then it will make your entire transition smoother, right? Less stress, and you will be able to hit your objective. So another one of the things is like, you know, like how to structure the deal is also another thing to consider.
What do you mean by structure the deal?
Okay, so for example, right, so sometimes when you sell a property already, then you have a decision to make, right? Okay, so you have like, usually it's a couple, mah, right? Then you can decide, am I going to buy the next house? Am I going to buy two properties? Or am I going to buy one property? Right, if you want to buy two properties, then usually we know that each property will be owned by one spouse, so that you don't have to pay the additional buyer stamp duty. Correct? Right, or sometimes, not all people will be comfortable, you know, to go straight into buying two properties because maybe they are not ready at that point of time financially, right? So they will decide, okay, I need to buy under both names first, with the choice of maybe decoupling, you know, like 3 years down the road or like 5 years down the road. Of course, three to five years down the road, if they eventually decide that they want to sell, that's the easier portion than decoupling, right? Then when you talk about decoupling, right, then a lot of times, people will just, you know, like in the marketplace, we always talk about like, oh, you can structure the deal 99% and 1%. So the 1% is the one that is easier to decouple one, right? But actually for most people, 99% to 1%, right, they actually never structure it correctly. It doesn't work for most people, right? Because the simple concept of 99% and 1% is so that the 1% owner wants to exit easily, ma. Correct? So, but the key thing is for most people, when they structure 2%, right, it's because the 1%, or they need the 1% owner's CPF in order to finance the down payment or the ongoing monthly installment, right? So just imagine, just for simple illustration, right, the property is $1 million. 1% is $10,000, right? And the 1% owner use 150K of CPF already, right? So it creates a situation where the owner owns 1%, but he used up to 15% of the equity already. So what it means? It means that this person won't be able to decouple, very hard to decouple. Why? Because you won't be able to finance the difference between the 1%, which is $10,000, and the 150K that you use, right? You won't be able to finance through loan. You cannot finance through CPF. You can only finance through cash to buy out this person because they need to return the CPF, right? So in such a case, they won't be able to decouple. They should have, for this kind of buyers, they should have considered, anticipate, okay, if I were to decouple, maybe it will be the third year or the fifth year. Then I can calculate backwards on how much CPF they are going to use. And we want to structure the CPF usage accordingly, in proportionally, right, to the ownership. So for example, this person by benefit structuring the deal as 80%, 20%. Yeah. So that it's easier for them to decouple, because now whatever CPF that he has used can also be bought out using partially by loan and partially by CPF and not just fully cash, right? If not, there's no point doing 99.1 already. He could have just bought at 100%.
Okay. So is there what is the difference for Aaron's strategy and for Joe's strategy?
Okay. So for, I think like for Joe wise, he is a very it's very clear cut that, you know, like the growth element is also very important in his planning, right? That's why I suggested that, you know, like we do the buy to invest, rent to stay, right? And also because rent to stay is because the area that he wants, the school that he wants to go, they are all very old leasehold properties, right? And of course the concern will be if they buy a leasehold property that is already quite old and I'm going to stay there for about another 10 more years, which is going to make it older, whether at a point of time the pricing can still hold or not for that property, right? So in order to mitigate this risk, we will rent in that location, we will pass down the risk to the landlords, right? Because they are the one that owns the property, right? And then they can actually, you know, like not to be limited by the criteria they have to be in a specific location. You know, they are able to put their money at where the growth areas are. So imagine if you are investing your money, if you don't have other consideration, you really just want to place it on places that have the most growth, ma. Right? But when that place that you own also needs to fulfill certain own stay criteria, right? Then your own stay criteria will actually precede, right, the investment portion. Such that most of the time the investment portion is almost you won't even consider it already, or like it's very little consideration, so you won't really meet the objective. So we want to speed it up,
So for convenience or for flexibility perspective, right? So that's why they rent, where they will have a lot more choices temporary, at least for 2 years, right? They are renting for 2 years.
We're renting for 2 years, and we rent from an owner that we're from an owner that is quite certain he doesn't want to sell lah. So we also plan that, you know, like we will want to continue to renew.
So we rent for 2 years with the potential to extend for another 2 years, yes. Right? Near the primary school. And then whatever, when they sell this property, whatever proceed they have, they will have more choices and have more resources for them to have the options to invest.
They can actually buy anywhere in Singapore rather than, you know, just within 1 kilometer of the school.
Yeah. So what is that strategy for them after they rent? Yeah. What do you have for them moving forward? Maybe you can elaborate more.
What do I have for them, as in like what are they planning to buy?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically we actually have already decided, you know, like what is a good property that we want to, you know, like actually like invest in, right? Unfortunately, that project is like almost fully sold already, and like there are no good units.
You're talking about new launch.
For him, will be new launch, right? So coming back to new launch, basically the original plan that was a specific project, right? And then most of the units left are not the recommended units, right? So that's why we have a change of plan now.
So as in change to other new launch project or a resale project or what?
We are targeting one that is upcoming, that is like possibly, you know, like to have like a good deal on. Okay, so coming back to, you know, like this new launch, right? So usually in my perspective, you know, like from an investment angle, right, you can also apply the 80-20 rule, right? That out of 80% of the launches, they are not so suitable for investment, but it will really fit your own stay criteria, right? So you're looking for growth, then you will not want to buy all these projects, right? And then within the project itself, because let's say, for example, the same bedroom type, let's say you want to buy a 3-bedroom, right? For a new launch, right, actually developers price the same 3-bedrooms, right, at different stacks, or like what I call different units, right, with different facing, they price it differently. So for example, a 3-bedroom that is pool facing, or like versus a 3-bedroom that is like road facing, versus a 3-bedroom that is unblocked landed facing, the units maybe is the same size, similar floor plan, but they can vary maybe 150k kind of difference, right? But if you're buying for own stay, people will think that, hey, you know, like it is worth paying for the differential, right? But from an investment angle, most of the times the premium will not be justified, and hence we, from an investment standpoint, we want to buy something that I know that once I enter, I have a certainty that I can sell at other people's entry price and I still have a profit. right? And so, but of course, I must pick properties with no negative attributes that will make it hard to sell in the future. So after considering all this, this will allow my risk to be lower because I don't need the market to move for us to make a profit, right? But if the market do move, then I will have
more profits.
Correct, because there's the market momentum and there's the price original price differential between the units already.
So are you saying for new launch, not all new launch can buy, even those new launch that you can buy, not all units you can buy because of the facing, because of the pricing, the developer price, and you try to, from a own stay perspective, right, people will buy those pool facing for that premium, but for investment perspective, like Joe, doesn't mean that he will buy any of the units or any of the facing, right?
Yeah. Okay, I'll say generally it's like not saying that like not all units can buy, right? That's not what I meant. What I meant is that like not all units are actually investment grade, right? So if your objective is to buy from an investment angle, then you want to choose units or projects that fall under the investment grade criteria, because that is your selection process, right? But if you are buying for own stay, you know, it's like, how do I say, like, you just buy something that you will enjoy, that you will love, right? That fits your family outcome. You don't tell like a Ferrari owner about fuel consumption, right? Because they don't care, right? So it really depends on the objective. But of course, there are some layouts that are really not very well utilized, right? And all these things will be definitely good to avoid, lah.
Understand.
Definitely good to avoid because it will be hard to sell. So usually we, for new launches, I would say like avoid really those that, you know, like have very strong negative attributes, right, that make it hard to resell in the future. Like same thing, you want to know that there is a market to sell to. If not the rest, if you are just buying for own stay, right, the key element will just be the entry price. You know, like buy into an entry price that is more fair value, right, that you know you're buying for own stay. So the market fluctuation when you're staying there for the next 5 to 10 years, it doesn't really matter. Right, as long as you have holding power, correct? So you buy something that you love because the investment portion is not the main objective, right? But of course, if you are buying for investment, then the entry price becomes very important, ma. Right? It's like a business like that, right? So if you have more cost upfront, then you will have lesser profit, or you will need to have more risk to get the same amount of profit, right? So it's really boils down to the objective also.
So coming back to Joe, right? Because you were talking about new launch, will you be considering resale market as investment?
Okay. So for resale market, right, is also possible for investment, right? It's slightly more challenging, I would say, like in general, right? Number one, for resale market, you cannot determine the inventory and the selection of the units because it depends on who is selling, right? And actually, sometimes in the market, you find that like as a buyer, right, it's quite frustrating to look at resale units sometimes. Because why? Because a lot of times, right, all the resale units, right, are not priced realistically, right? They are priced, you know, like 200K, 250K above the last recent transacted price. And I share with you the psychology behind it, right? So if you are buying the resale market, you want to buy from serious sellers. And who are serious sellers? Serious sellers, most of the time, are sellers that are staying in the house. And they have a plan that they want to move out to the house to buy another place. Maybe it's because to be closer to parents, maybe because of school, maybe because of like actual life scenario that they have to make a change, right? So they will price their houses very realistically. Right? And a lot of times you will see that houses that are tenanted out, right, in the current climate, right, the pricing usually is not so serious. Reason is because, let's imagine you are the owner, you have multiple properties, and the property is currently tenanted, you have very little incentive to want to sell because you sell already, you'll be thinking, I want to buy another residential property, I'll also get additional buyer stamp duty, right? So unless I am being rewarded, right, slightly above the market pricing that I want to sell, right? So that's why it makes, like, you know, finding resale properties sometimes slightly more challenging. But if you have a very focused area, then it becomes easy. Then we can just monitor the area, and then we will be able to tell from the advertisement price most of the time whether the unit is serious or not. If it's yes, then we can go down and check out and inspect to see whether it fits.
Okay, so if you want to know more and want to reach out to Yirong, please contact him, because selling a property and buying a property is not as simple as it is. There's so many steps, and everyone just want to have a good experience selling their property, buying a next property, and move on with their life. Yeah, so I think Yirong is the best person to talk to. So thank you, Yirong, for coming again, and thank you for all the insightful information that you share with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Yeah. So if you need anything, call him. Otherwise, see you next time. Bye.